I'm going to start off this morning by having you ask yourself a question. And I want you to really think about this question. I don't care if you have come to church your entire life. I want you to stop and think about the question that I'm wanting you to ask yourself. And that question is, am I going to heaven? Do I know beyond any shadow of a doubt that heaven is my home? Folks, if you don't know that, you ought to be running to this altar. This life is so short, so temporary. And it's not about this life. It's about preparing for eternity. At the most, at the very most, you might live to be 100. Most people don't even get close to 100. Most of us in this room, our parents have already passed on. Or our grandparents definitely have already passed on. Folks, the importance of this message cannot be overemphasized. You have to know if you're going to heaven or not. And the reason that this question is so important is because the only other alternative is a place called hell. And yes, hell is a very real, literal place. And it's a horrible place. The Bible says that it's outer darkness, where there will be nothing but weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It goes on to say that the smoke of their torment, the torment of the people that are there, ascends up forever, and they have no rest day or night. Years ago, right after Diane and I, in fact, I don't even think we'd even married yet, the church we were attending brought in a movie called The Burning Hell. And I know these people did the very best that they could to depict what hell would be like, but folks, they didn't even touch the tip of the iceberg, as we would say, but it got my attention. I saw from that visual that it was definitely a horrible place, and I did not want to go, and I did not want anybody that I knew to go. So today, from God's Word, we're going to show you how you can know you're saved. And as you're going to see, this is so simple. Salvation is so simple. It was so simple that at the age of 8 years old, I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that I was on my way to the devil's hell, and I knew how to keep from going there because the Word of God is so simple. Don't complicate salvation. We'll read what the Bible has to say in our hearts and our minds. We'll say, yeah, but there's got to be more. There's not any more. God made it very simple so anybody could be saved. Even a boy at 8 years old, I've even seen kids at the age of 5 that got saved. Folks, you don't have to be a rocket scientist for this. In fact, the Bible says you have to come as a child. You have to basically forget all of your intellectual knowledge and receive by faith what God's Word says. And God's Word says it this simple. It is by faith in Jesus only. I know a lot of folks that think, well, if I'm a morally good person, and if I go to church, I'll be saved. God will take me to heaven. I'm going to be a really good person. That will not get you to heaven. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine a while back, and he was telling me about a guy in his church that used to go to his church. Said this guy was just as morally good as you could get. He was a good citizen. He was a hard worker. He took care of his wife and his family and treated them with respect. He was in church almost every single time that the doors were open. He even worked in the churches. If they needed a project done, he was one of the first ones to volunteer to get the project done. But this guy was a lost sinner on his way to hell. And this pastor friend of mine told me, he said, I would ask this gentleman from time to time, why don't you just get saved? And I don't really know what was keeping him from it. It might have been the fact that he felt like he was good enough to make it to heaven. But eventually, this guy realized that his goodness would not get him to heaven, and he submitted his life to Jesus Christ and asked for God to forgive him of his sins, and he received Jesus as his Savior, and I'm glad he did because he's now in our church. And his name is Wayne King. And I asked Wayne if I could share this story with him, and he said yes. Folks, goodness has nothing to do with it. You can be a morally good person, and you will split the gates of hell wide open if you don't receive Jesus as your Savior. There's a man in the Bible by the name of Nicodemus, and he was as good as you could get. The Bible says that he was a teacher of the Pharisees. In other words, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He kept the law of the religion back then to the very letter. You did not get any better than he did. But even with all of his goodness, he had this nagging question that just kept nagging at him. And finally he came to Jesus, and here was the basis of what he wanted to know from Jesus. He wanted to know, Jesus, is my goodness good enough to get me into heaven? And Jesus told him, no, that his goodness was not good enough. Now, folks, you would have to look hard and long to find anybody as good as Nicodemus. You would have to look hard and long to find anybody as religious as Nicodemus. He was one of the leaders of the Jews. He was one of the leaders of the church. He was one of the top people in Jerusalem, in the church in Jerusalem. He was religious. He was good. He was doing all of the religious things, but he realized he was lost. And so he asked Jesus, will my goodness get me into heaven? And like I said, Jesus told him, no, that no amount of goodness will get you into heaven. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You could even go through that and say, for by grace are you saved, not of your goodness, not of your works, only by faith. It has nothing to do with you. It's a gift of God. And folks, it truly is a gift of God. But for a gift to be of any value, it has to be received. If I had the funds to do so, and I bought you the car of your dreams, and I brought it to you and tried to hand you the key, and you said, no, I don't want that, and I reject it and I turn it away, then that gift is not any good, is it? You've turned it down. Same way with salvation, folks. It's a gift, but for it to be a valued gift, you have to receive it. I wish we could get through to people that goodness can't get them into heaven. A lot of times I will visit with people, and they should never be able to say this statement, but they can and they do. A lot of times they'll tell me, I'm just as good as so-and-so that goes to that church. Shame on us if we're one of those so-and-sos. We ought to be head and shoulders above everybody else in our actions, in our business dealing, in our schoolwork, in our family life, in everything we do. We ought to be head and shoulders above everybody else because we're going by God's holy word on how to live our lives. But we, the church, have made people think, well, if I can just live and be a good, moral person, I'll make it. Well, no, you can't. Over in the book of Romans, it says that all have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. Who's that talking about? That's talking about Nicodemus. Even as good as Nicodemus was, he came short of God's glory, and he had sin in his life because he had rejected Jesus Christ. That's talking about even somebody as good as Wayne King was, and is. Wayne's still a good guy. Didn't want to put that in the past tense. Folks, that means that I have sinned. and come short of the glory of God. And even at 8 years old, God told me that and spoke to my heart that told me that I was a sinner and that I had come short of His glory, that I had missed His mark, that I had sin in my life, and that means you. I don't care who you are. You have come short of the glory of God. You have sinned, and if you have not received Jesus as your Savior, you are going to a place called hell, and I don't want you to go there. And God doesn't want you to go there. There's only one way to get to heaven, and it's what Jesus told Nicodemus. You must be born again. Now, I promise you, when you get born again, the good works will follow. But stop and think about this, folks. If Nicodemus was not good enough to get to heaven, even as good as he was, then surely we can see and we can understand that we aren't good enough either. You can be the best father, the best mother. You can be the best worker, the best neighbor, the highest standing citizen in the neighborhood. But if you have not been born again, you're lost. You're lost. And don't try to rationalize that in your mind. You have to go by what God's Word says. In God's Word, Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3, He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. And again, if you're trying to rely on your goodness, it won't work. In fact, there's even a scripture in the Bible that talks about that. Apparently, this man that came to Jesus in Matthew 19 was a very good man. Apparently, he was a very good man. And he asked Jesus, he said, good master, what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life? This is a guy that sincerely wanted to go to heaven, but he thought it depended on him doing something good. And Jesus basically told that man, there's nothing you can do, only believe. Only put your faith in Jesus Christ, because we cannot be saved any other way except through faith in Jesus Christ. That is the only way that we can be saved. Now, I want to share with you very shortly and very briefly how to get saved this morning. And I have intentionally made this message short, brief, and to the point, because like I said, salvation is not complicated. It takes a real good theologian to mess up what God has to say about salvation. But some of them can do it. But in Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 8, the Bible says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if, that word there, if, is a major pivotal word. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and if you will believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Doesn't get any simpler than that, does it? It's a three-step plan. All you have to do is believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and that God raised Him from the dead. You can try to rationalize that. You can try to think that about that. You can try to make that intellectual. But folks, it all comes down to this. At one point or another in your life, you have to simply believe. You have to simply believe. Simply believe. But we find that hard to do sometimes. I'm praying that this morning that the Holy Spirit makes it simple for you to believe that. So the first step is to believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and that God has raised Him from the dead. The second step is you have to ask Jesus to forgive you and to come into your heart and to be your Savior. That's not hard, is it? I did that at 8 years old. If I can do that at 8 years old, I know anybody here and anybody in the entire world can do it. Because at 8 years old, what do we know? We know nothing. We are very simple at that point. So the second step is to ask Jesus to forgive you and to come into your heart. And then the third step is that we have to confess Him as our Lord with our mouth. And that's not hard either. That's why we have people come to the front and make a public confession of Jesus Christ, because that is one of the steps of being saved. So let me go back over those again. Believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and that God has raised Him from the dead. Ask Jesus to forgive you and to be your Savior, and then simply confess Him with your mouth as your Lord. Folks, that is all there is to it. Don't complicate it beyond that. And let me share this with you. God wants you to be saved. The Bible clearly tells us that it is His will that all men come to repentance and that nobody perish. God does not want anybody to perish. Even that person that you despise and you can't stand, God loves him and wants him saved. Even the worst person in the entire world, God does not want them to perish. And not only that, He's done everything that He can to make sure that everybody can be saved. There's nothing else that God can do. There's not another better sacrifice. Jesus is the ultimate supreme sacrifice for your sin and for my sin. And God even goes a little bit further back to John chapter 3, down in verse 15. He says, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Who does that whosoever mean? That means me. I'm glad that means me. That I can put my name in there and it means me. You can put your name in there, and it means you. Whosoever believeth in Him, it says should not perish, but the actual meaning there is will not perish, but have eternal life. God loves you, and God wants to save you. But the question this morning is, will you receive His gift of salvation? Folks, if you do, I've never heard anybody after they got saved say, no, this isn't what I expected. Take it back. I've never heard anybody got saved that regretted getting saved. But I've met a lot of people at the end of their life regretted that they had never given their life to Jesus Christ. This morning I've shared with you how to be saved. And I've told you how simple it is. And most of you have been in church most of your life and you know everything that I've shared with you. But let me close by giving you one final thought. Wouldn't it be a tragedy to wake up one morning and you're standing before the judgment seat of God and you found out that you missed heaven by 18 inches? You say, well, Brother Greg, how could you ever miss heaven by 18 inches? You could miss it by having the head knowledge and not having the heart knowledge. Just like Nicodemus, he knew all about Jesus. He studied the Word every single day. He was very religious. He had all of the information. Like I said, most of you here know all about what the Bible has to say about salvation. You know what it takes. But if you've never done it, then you're still lost. It doesn't matter how much you know. It matters that you act on what you know. You know, Nicodemus probably had as much, if not more, knowledge about Jesus in his day as anybody. But I'm glad he got up the courage to go to Jesus to find out what he had to do to be saved. Even though he knew, because it tells us over in the book of Isaiah, he still had some confusion on it. And he got the courage to go to Jesus to find out how to make sure he was saved and how to make sure that he was going to heaven. And folks, like I told you at the very beginning, there is nothing. There is no other question that you can ask yourself that is any more important than, am I sure that I am going to heaven? My question for you today is, have you got the courage to come ask Jesus to forgive you and to make you born again so you can go to heaven? And yes, it does take courage. Even at the age of 8 years old, it took courage for me to get up and to go. And a lot of times we are so worried about what everybody else is going to think. Well, folks, anybody here that's a Christian will be right up here praying with you, and they will be happy to see you coming. Anybody that's not happy to see you coming, they need in this altar as bad as you do. So I want to encourage you this morning. Get the courage to come and find out for sure if you are saved and if you are born again and if you are on your way to heaven. Because like I said, I do not want you to miss heaven, and God does not want you to miss heaven. And if there's any reason you missed it today, it's because you just didn't act on the Word of God. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, we come before you, and I thank you and I praise you for Jesus, my Savior. And God, I thank you that you are no respecter of persons, that your word says, whosoever believes, that puts their faith and their trust in Jesus, that they will be saved, that they will be born again, that they will be brought into the kingdom of heaven. And Father, I know that you've spoken to hearts this morning. Give them the courage to come before you and to make sure that they have received Jesus as their Savior. If there's any doubt at all, help them to come forward this morning, and we'll pray with them. And we'll help them to know beyond any shadow of a doubt, just like your word tells us that you want us to. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.